What is up, dudes, dudettes, and all my beautiful people of the interwebs? It is Saturday, so you know what that means. It is time to go beyond. Welcome to the Smash Podcast. Thank you for your stay here in the United States of Smash. Now, I gotta say, guys, we're sorry we're starting a little bit late, but had some family issues, unfortunately, so one of our panel members isn't gonna be here, and I had to take care of an important phone call, but we're here. We're doing it. And, you know, it's just going to be me and one other, but, you know, we'll take care of it there. Trust me, guys. We're going to keep you guys entertained. So without further ado, let me introduce my boy, my friend, the man with no plan, the fraud himself, Mr. Operation.
What up? What up, everybody? Glad to be here. We're a little short on the panel, but it's all good. We'll keep you entertained. Oh, yeah. We got y'all for the night.
Oh, yeah. Always, always. You know how we do. It don't matter. I was like, whether it's 10 of us or two of us, we always going crazy.
Trucking through.
We have fun. Always trucking. And of course, you already know what it is, guys. I am your boisterous host with the most, Bloody Knuckles, aka the Gotha Gamer, and your resident anime king. Man, I gotta say, tonight's a nice night. It's really nice down here in Texas, right? You know, weather's starting to finally get good. You know, it's nice. The moon is real nice today. If you believe in that kind of stuff, for Libras, my peoples, it's our sign tonight. So feel the love of the universe, you know, enjoy it while you can. Go do whatever you gotta do. Be responsible, be careful. But man, enough of that good stuff. We got some real good stuff here to talk about. And actually, today's special is because I was drunk most of yesterday, so I didn't have time to pull up topics. But I mean, we've been talking in our DMs as a group all together, and there's been a lot of big stuff. So the boy Operation here actually put up a game plan, and I had him set up the topics list. So he's got some good stuff in here. Definitely stuff that's worth talking about.
Oh yeah, got some good topics, some sad ones, but you know, that's just how it is.
Oh yeah. So what we're gonna do here is we're gonna kind of start off with our somber stuff to kind of get that out, because it is a lot of news, especially for our generation, as you know, some mid-20s and, you know, 90s kids and 80s and stuff like that. Probably right. The biggest one right here is the creator of SpongeBob, a series that resonated and was very important and prominent to 90s children and stuff like that. They grew up with this show. Well, earlier this week, the creator himself, Steven Hillenburg, I think it was, yeah, Steven yeah. Hillenburg, actually had passed away earlier this year, or earlier this week. And when I got that news, dude, it really bothered me, because it hit me hard, because, like, I know, at least for me, I don't know about you all, but SpongeBob was one of those cartoons growing up as a kid that really kind of defined that generation of TV shows that people remember when they're younger, you know, like, especially like 70s and 80s, they'll remember things like Transformers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. That defined their childhood. For us, it was like Power Rangers, Pokemon, SpongeBob, and, you know, a couple others, but these ones were like the biggest ones for that era. So when I got the news of this, it really hit me hard. Because of the fact that I really loved it. You know, I saw most of the movies. I haven't really watched it much lately, just because of the fact that I know they had a new director and stuff. And they really changed the humor on it, so it's more kind of stupid humor.
It's more modern.
Sad.
Typical idiot humor, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact is, like, there's been plenty of times where he has come out to Texas and done like cons and stuff like that, and I really wish I had gotten the chance to go and see him and really get that interview and get to have a picture or anything with that, because he did play such an integral part for me and our generation, as well as just like recently for a lot of people with the passing of Stan Lee. You know,
right?
These are people who defined countless decades and generations of characters and creations for people that really had an impact on them.
And not only that, they molded two generations of kids with their own,
because
the creations.
Yeah, exactly, man. Like, especially with everything that was going on with Stan Lee, you're talking about like almost 60 years worth of worth of comics and stuff like that. Like that's
exactly
2 to 3 generations worth of people. I was like 2 generations of kids, but 3 generations of fans worldwide, and you know, an entire generation for SpongeBob alone, because that came out back in the mid 90s. And I think he was heading that project up until the mid or the early 2000s. Like that's how long he was around.
Yeah, he's definitely left his stamp on his world. It's really sad, though. Like our like childhood, like obviously our childhood mentors, you could say, for some people, people who really helped us throughout our childhood, give us entertainment, fun, just escape from this world. Like one by one, they're going away. It's just the sad reality of it. And like this, the impact SpongeBob left on just cartoons in general, you can never wash that away. That would always be an integral part of cartoons for a later time. But yes, SpongeBob now, the humor, they definitely changed it up to more tuned with a modern audience, but still, you can see its imprint still left in the show. But yeah, it's just going to be sad to cope with this, just to accept that he's gone.
It really is. And it's one of the sad things that it always comes down to it, and it does happen. That death happens, and it's always harder when they become such a staple, such an icon, and really had that effect on what they created and shared for people to really see. And you know, this one, like I said, for an entire generation of kids who are now, you know, in their mid to late 20s and stuff like that, probably some in their early 30s. This show did have a big impact on people's childhood that they can remember a lot of things. I was like, hell, at this point, I was like, SpongeBob is not just a show, but it's become so memetic because of its heavy and meme culture. You know, it's still very prominent because of the humor and just the visual aspects of what it did, from visual humor, the way that it used play on words and all sorts of things. It really was very smart and really well done for the time that it came out with.
You can even argue that SpongeBob, just the content, the jokes in it alone, makes up, I get 10 or so percent of the memes still used to this day and continue to be used. That's how much big an impact it is. That one IP, that one brand, is responsible for so many memes, jokes, people use to relate to each other, share. They're still relevant to this day, about a show that came out in the mid-90s. Like that just says something. That's a testament of his own right there for a show like that, to be that relevant to millions of people.
It really is, man. Like it really did have such an effect, because you got to think that SpongeBob is still a show that's still ongoing, so it is still affecting a whole nother generation of kids right now, right. And it does still have prevalence, though maybe not on the level that
it used to.
It
be.
Did, yeah, or a big of an impact, but it is still recognized heavily nowadays. You know. Mm-hmm. So to get news like that, it's always sad when you hear about these creators passing away and the legacy that they leave behind. Now I see that you wanted to remember one of your favorite episodes of SpongeBob. Which one was one of your favorites, weirdest or whatever?
Ooh, I just thought of it. Why is it on mine? I'm trying to think. It was the one. I think when SpongeBob finally got his boating license, he fucking wrecked havoc on the whole city. I was dying the entire time of that episode. But like, as far as weird is, it's probably one for a lot of people. But the episode when Patrick and SpongeBob were like parents, and they were like raising this clam.
Oh, with the clam.
Bro, I swear, bro. In school, bro, we roasted that episode for a good month when it came out. Like, it was just like we were trying to think, like, bro, who? Like, good God, bro. The jokes we made about that show, bro. I don't even go see on the show. But yeah, man, it was great times for us.
I know, man. I was like, one of my favorite episodes is when you bring up the boating school. There's so many great episodes with the boating school alone, right? But exactly. One of my favorites was with the flatfish, the flounder.
Oh, yes.
when SpongeBob sits next to him, he's like, hi, I'm SpongeBob. He's like, hi, I'm going to kick your butt. And he's like, wait, what? Exactly. And he was just like, no, he's like, it's just how he says hi. It's like, no, he's going to beat you up. Like that whole episode was just so stupid. But I loved it.
And how it ended up.
And then, of course, anything with Barnacle Boy and Mermaid Man is just sheer classics. Hilarity at the same time. Classic.
It was crazy, though, the lore of that show. How, like, it actually has a. It's not some regular cartoon. It's like each episode is like a one off on its own. There's actually a lore set in place for this show that it built upon for years to come. Like, you remember when Sandy was first introduced? She's now a staple character in the show. Bro, like, so people, like, if you bring up a certain people, like, okay, so what? She's always been there. For us, who's been there from the beginning, bro, like, it's kind of crazy, though, bro. How's over the years, it's set up different characters to become, like, reoccurring characters over the years and whatnot. It's just a great show, man.
It really is. Think about that, like, a lot of the characters. I mean, you had Pearl, you know, Mr. Krabs' daughter, yep, who became a mainstay. And then Larry, like, Larry the Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was only in a few episodes periodically. It was like whenever SpongeBob tried to do something that was like very strength and show offy. And yeah, yet after a while, he became such a big character and prominent himself.
Yeah, man. Like,
and then what? There's a couple of the like background fish that are so prominently shown in the background that they have names that no one knows the name of,
right,
but they do. Like, it's crazy what they did and established everything without people even realizing it.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of meta content that's put into SpongeBob that goes over a lot of people's head.
It really does, but, you know, man, I love it. It's something else. It really was something unique all its own.
Absolutely, man.
All right, so now that we got that little somberness out of the way and kind of give our wishes, so, you know, to his family, to anyone he leaves behind, and to everyone who is, you know, feeling this and the loss of this creator, you know, we go out, remember, have fun. If you want to even relive your childhood and go watch some of those old SpongeBob episodes, you know, reminisce. There's nothing wrong with being nostalgic.
Exactly, man.
All right. So I think the biggest news from there, we're going to kind of go into a little bit more serious stuff, but something that we've all been talking about for the past months, because we've been seeing this path like happen almost every other month. So Netflix is making moves, and it is being aggressive, and it's being cutthroat. And about a couple weeks ago, we talked about the last cancellation that Netflix did, cutting, you know, Luke Cage shortly after we got the announcement of it canceling and cutting Iron Fist. And right when season 3 dropped of Daredevil, because we were talking about that, and Soul King himself was talking about it very heavily because he was loving the season. We said right after it dropped, and so you can go back, and if I could find it, I would post this up. Soul said, I guarantee after a few weeks of this season being up, we're going to get news that Netflix cancels Daredevil. He's like, it don't matter how good Daredevil is. Mm-hmm. He said that they're going to be news that's going to get canceled. And lo and behold, I think it was early Thursday. It was late Thursday night. There was the announcement that was breaking from everywhere that Netflix had announced that they were canceling Daredevil after season 3. And as soon as that happened, we talked about it. And literally his first words was, I knew it, called it. We saw it coming. And it really is something that we all talked about and very heavily thought coming. Like, we said that this is definitely, we know a lot of this is Disney, but not in the aspect of what people say. It was more that they tried to really gouge the price on the show, and Netflix wasn't gonna drop the money for that, especially with the kind of making that they're doing with their original shows nowadays, right? But while it's great and all, they weren't gonna pay the price and really kind of invest the money that Disney was wanting for these properties, so they dropped them. And we also saw this as a move because Disney's really heavily trying to invest in their, what's it called, Disney Universe Plus or Disney Plus?
I believe Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, their streaming service. And we're seeing a lot of stuff that ties into the MCU being put on there, as well as we're also seeing a lot of the more mature content and stuff that they've had, like with
The Gifted?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we had The Gifted, The Runaways, and then Cloak and Dagger going into a lot more darker, more mature themes being done on Hulu. And if people hadn't seen our old episode in the past, to kind of recap, is that Disney had bought, had made the deal with Fox. They're going through with that acquisition. It should be finalized by the end of the year, and so we'll start seeing some of that come through starting next year versus summer of next year if it finalizes, if it takes time because of all the Comcast issue with that. But the biggest thing is with the Comcast or with the Fox acquisition, besides getting a lot of properties as well as getting rights to older films that they want, like Star Wars and things like that, they also got access to Fox's streaming services. They were able to work out a deal in the UK, or not just the UK, in Europe and the EU with Sky Media to be able to use that platform as the big streaming or network out there to use themselves, as well as they got Fox's controlling shares of Hulu, which gives them, I think it's about 60% controlling share of Hulu. So that means that they now have access to all of Hulu stuff as well as a controlling share and that already established streaming service. So we know that The Gifted, The Runaways, and Cloak and Dagger all exist within the MCU, just like The Defenders with Daredevil, Punisher, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones, all that exists within the MCU, but haven't been featured heavily in the movies or anything like that. However, now with them kind of being able to control it themselves and have access to these two avenues of their streaming services, I think that their next move is that they can use both of those to kind of keep that extra content that they want to do and add into it. Is it going to be the best way to do it? No, because we said that, you know, they're keeping the Disney streaming very family friendly, but they need to just kind of get rid of that and just be like, hey, this is for mature audiences, put it out. Because, you know, the writer for Luke Cage, the writer for Punisher, the writer and director for Daredevil, all phenomenal. But they have to keep those same people. And I know Soul King was very adamant that he feels that they're going to do a reboot. I don't think they're going to do that with what's been established and how successful that these actors are with these characters and roles. Yeah, they're done right now, but they have been talking that Disney's reaching back out to them themselves. With the Daredevil cancellation, though, what was your thought on it? What was your kind of impressions with all this?
So I was fucking right and I was mad. Like, god dang Disney. Like, if they want price gouge out Netflix, all right, fine, so be it. But the thing is with Disney is, like, since they want, they're still adamant on being kidly friendly to the point where it's almost like a cultic, like, behavior amongst Disney, they don't even want to have, like, mature rate content in Disney Plus. It could be a simple fix as making a section where kids, if you want to be access more mature content, there has to be like a sign in or like verification so you're allowed to see that content. But they want to split the shows amongst that and Hulu. All right, that's them. So I feel like they shouldn't have to be rebooted because they just put them on Hulu because they already have some of the shows on there already. I'm hoping they don't do the whole reboot section because, like, what's his name? Mike Coulter, where that plays Luke Cage.
Mike Coulter.
As far as like rebooting the show, if you'll get different actors, I don't see how you can replace him as Luke Cage, since he's already been solidified with a role. People love him. When people think of Luke Cage, they immediately think of him.
What about Charlie Cox as Daredevil, man? I was like, I cannot see anyone else picking up the role of Daredevil like the way he has.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. It's the same thing with him as well. It's like, if you're going to try to reboot it and you keep the same characters, it's not necessarily a reboot. You're just soft reboot in that sense. But yeah, just like, I hope it's not a reboot, man. Just put it on that Hulu and call it a day, continue the seasons. But like, as far as like the people, the studios that actually handle the creation of it, like the screenwriters, producers, all that stuff, wouldn't have to find new staff for that? Or would they hire the same people? Like, how would you think they would do that?
Yeah, man, it really is something different because of the fact that we have to, you know, these characters really have made an impression, you know, especially John Berthnell. Okay, there is no person I can see now more than ever being able to portray the Punisher the way John Berthnell.
Nobody else can.
Like, don't get me wrong. There was the actor who did, you know, Punisher Warzone. Great person for that role. It was an action film.
Yeah.
But John Berthnell added that extra depth and added the real mentally unstable aspect of Frank Castle, the broken man, the war-torn vet, you know, stuck in the state of violence and anger and yet, you know, completely hurting in every way. Like, he portrayed that broken soldier who is stuck in war, suffering from PTSD in such a well done way that, you know, after that show, when that drops, you heard us gushing about it, me especially. Like, there is no one who can replace him as the Punisher, just like no one can replace Charlie Cox as Daredevil, and that no one can replace Michael Coulter as Luke Cage. You know, when it comes to Iron Fist, everyone's just like, no, get rid of the boy, Ben Jones.
Same energy with him. I was like,
Like I said, he's not bad. It's just a lot of issues with the choreography and the acting. I know why people don't like him. He is very whiny, and he adds a lot more extra whining to that aspect because of how he was in Game of Thrones when he was playing the Knight of Flowers and stuff like that. But I really didn't mind him. Like, I really enjoyed him, like, when he had his good moments. But that also comes into an aspect of a lot of the writing, because the writing was so bad the first season. I know they stepped it up in season two. I would like them to keep Finn Jones, because I really think that he just needs to hit the right stride, and they just need to do the right storyline with Iron Fist. Like, I really think that he could do it all. But I can understand if people really wanted to replace him, because he wasn't seen very big synonymously with that character after it was first announced. Jessica Jones, she needs to stay. Like, I know some people like Jessica Jones, some people don't, especially after season two. I really like her. She really does need to stay as the character. Like, I don't want another person playing that character, because she has that smart ass, you know, laissez-faire, you know, devil may care attitude. Like, she's perfect for that role. You know, it's one of those things. And of course, all the side characters, from the girl who plays Colleen Wing to Misty Knight, and everyone hates Paige, but she does well, okay? And then, of course, Foggy and every other side character that's crossed between all the shows, like, they're all synonymous with those characters and what they've established with these shows. Changing it up is going to do either really good or really bad. And that's one of the things that is a double-edged sword with this.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards really bad, because, like, with, like you already said, we have these established characters. If Disney wants to try to go through the effort, try to recast them after, like, and like, we just, and how we lost these shows in the beginning right now, I don't think it'll do good for them. Even if they find good, like, recast for them, I still think fans will still be, have, like, they still feel burnt from how they, like, just handle these shows from taking from Netflix and just recasting them to on Hulu, wherever else they're going to do them. But I'm pretty sure we both can rule out doing a PG-13, like, rendition of these shows is not going to happen. I can guarantee that shit will flop on it. Flop hard once his debut, because, like, especially the stories with Punisher, there is no way in hell you can make that for kids.
Oh hell no, there's no way you could. Like, sure, they can still use the gunshots, but I mean, it's going to be at such an aspect of, they'd have to do cutaways, or even if they shot, like, no full-on, like, heavy blood or anything. But I mean, you're talking about a dude who killed 15 people with, in a small confined area, with shotguns up close, like, straight punching holes through dudes, and had an M249 machine gun, a light machine gun, stacked, and pulled it out and shredded dudes nearly in half, straight through body armor. You cannot do that in a PG-13. It can't be done.
And unless you pull some G.I. Joe bullshit where everybody's missing each other, firing their guns, then it turns to, like, a fist fight.
Everyone, they shoot, like, three bullets, and then they just throw the guns at each other and just start punching each other in the face.
Yeah, that shit ain't happening at all. They managed to get Deadpool to work in, like, what was it? Not Spectacular Spider-Man. This is some anime Spider-Man show they have going on right now in Disney. From what I heard from fans,
That's Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah, I think that's what it is. They managed to pull up Deadpool on that, but, like, they probably got the half of him right, which was with the humor. I guess that's probably why everybody gave him a pass. But, like, the more dark characters, it's just not going to work. Especially stories told in Luke Cage and whatnot. His love relations with previous love relationship with Misty Knight, and then his past one with Night Nurse. I forgot her name in the show. Damn, I'm terrible. Her name? Night Nurse, her name, because she left him in season two.
Luke Cage. That's Claire Temple.
Yes. Yeah, as far as, like, portraying her relationships in Luke Cage, if you're going to dumb that down heavily, it's not going to work. It's not going to go over right with fans. It's not going to look natural at all in the show either. So, yeah.
Speaking of Claire, she's beautiful.
Misty
Love that
Knight
one.
all the way. Misty Knight, much
Oh
better
yeah.
than Claire.
What? You don't like her?
I got nothing against Claire, but Misty Knight, whew, I can't stack her against
It's
Claire.
that
I can't.
hey, look, every man wants a robot arm. Having a woman with a robot arm is even better.
Hey, I'll stand for her before a robot arm, but I get your point. Yeah.
He's just like, yeah. He's like, I'm not even gonna argue that. But no, man, like I said, it's we saw these cancellations coming, and we know that season two of Punisher is already in the works, and that we have season two or season three of Jessica Jones coming sometime next year. More than likely in the spring, they're gonna come out. And I like with this, more than likely we're gonna see right like between 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month after it comes out. That these shows are gonna get the information that they are canceled and things like that. It's gonna suck. What we do need to understand that it is something to be expecting because of the precedent that's already being set. If it was just Iron Fist, you know, I wouldn't say to worry, but no, season two of Luke Cage did really well. A lot of people really liked the new
Bushmaster.
big bad in that one. Yeah, Bushmaster. And you know, a lot of people found him to be a really great villain for Luke Cage, and
Wasn't
that
viewership down
season
though?
did really well. Huh?
Wasn't viewership down compared to the first season? Or was that fake news? I can't remember.
I think they were saying that viewership was down all the way around, but you know, that's also partly because of the fact that, you know, when these shows come out, you know, unless people are following the news all the time, they're not going to see. But I mean, every time these shows get announced and the trailers come out, they do fucking numbers. Like they get attraction. I think it's they were down viewership over the long period of time, not like when it first drops, because that's when they get all the people in it, when they all binge watch it in, you know, 1 2 days.
Yeah, and they keep releasing next to bigger like media hits as well. Did Luke Cage drop? It was a movie or a game, I can't remember. It dropped in the same time frame. But I know Daredevil season 3 dropped around Red Dead. That could affect the viewership as well, because people, everybody's playing that shit right now.
Oh, also the TV show right now for the Spider-Man that's going on is actually just Marvel's Spider-Man.
Marvel Spider-Man. Okay, that's
Yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, because it's on their Disney XD. And yeah, I do remember the episode where they had Deadpool. And they're cheeky with the humor on how they pulled that off, because
It's real
while
wacky.
he was very Deadpool, who's already wacky as it is, the way that they got around a lot of stuff is very funny. It's just like, hey, he just like when we go in there, he's like, I'm going to give them a special way to do this. He's like, I'm going to unalive them. He's just like, what? You're going to kill? He's like, wow, saying kill really is so much worse. No, I'm just going to unalive them. Like, that's something I would expect that character to say.
Yeah, they're really
But
clever with it, so kudos to them.
yeah, but I don't expect the Punisher to say, guys, I'm going to take this gun and go unalive all that people there.
I would drop the show immediately if he said that.
It, right,
No.
exactly. It's not gonna work. They can't hold back because of the fact that there's already talks that Charlie Cox has already been approached by Disney, and what's gonna be the fate of all that after the cancellation right now. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's been a double-edged sword with Netflix making these cancellations, especially for Marvel's big hitters on that series, or for these series and on their platform. But you know, they do want to get all that money for themselves and not have to pay out that extra for the contracts and stuff like that. So it's
Right.
something I don't know.
Yeah. Real quick, while we're speaking about Marvel, I actually saw Venom recently. Whoo, that movie was lit, man. I don't see how people are hating on it. If you're like a big Marvel, not Marvel, Spider-Man stan, and you love the origin of Venom and how they portrayed it in the comics, and you don't like how they did in the movie, I kind of get you from that aspect. But at the same time, Venom and God dang, I forget his name. I
Killmonger.
know. Not Killmonger. I know Venom. I know the actor's real name is Eddie Brock. In the movies, Eddie Brock, but his
Oh,
actual name.
Eddie Brock. You're
Yeah.
talking about Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yes. Like, their chemistry throughout the movie, bro, that shit was, like, almost seamless. Like, it's lame as pun, but it was complete symbiosis, bro. Like, it fit throughout the movie, because, like, Eddie Brock, that dude's a weird-ass motherfucker in the comics, bro. And shit he goes through with Venom as well. And, like, for him to actually portray that accurately throughout the movie, it's, like, it just worked for me, bro. And the action was dope, bro. And having Venom, having him put his input throughout the events happening throughout the movie was just hilarious, bro. especially when they first met Riot. He's trying to prepare for it. Like, the shit he does is unreal. He's like, I told you so. I was dying when I saw
When they first fought, when they first fought Riot there close to the end of the film. Oh, dude, I was laughing. He just like, whoa. He's like, you didn't tell me that he was that strong and he had weapons. He's like, yeah, I did.
Yep.
He's like, don't say I didn't do that. Like, and you got to give props to Tom Hardy. He did double duty. He did the voice of Venom and having to act. So he was talking to himself half the time or the whole time. So the way that he was able to do both characters really well back and forth really showed. Like, I know why people don't like the origin. Yes, is the film perfect? No, it is not. Mm-mm. It does have pacing issues. You know, it's very slow in the beginning, but as soon as he gets Venom and the symbiote, it just it hits the ground running and goes off from there. It doesn't stop after that point. Like, the pacing is understandably all over the place. But for what it was in the rendition, I have to give it to Sony Studios and what they did with the character. It is a fairly enjoyable movie. Just enjoy it. I was like, yes, as nerds and who understand the history of these characters, we want to dissect and break down everything, right? No, this is one of those times where you can actually enjoy the way that they reinterpreted the character, modernized him, especially with Eddie Brock being an investigative journalist doing an online, you know, journalism report, not and having a TV show, not working at a newspaper and stuff, you know, something more modern. And things like that, it helps. Yeah, it's like how they did Killmonger. The Killmonger we saw in Black Panther was not the Killmonger that existed in the comics in any way, shape, or form. They took a lot of the better parts of Killmonger across several different comic lines, sewed that together, and then threw that in the washing machine and cleaned it up and made it really badass.
Right, and I'll take an L on both of these movies. I was real skeptical of Killmonger, because I forgot how he changed his origin. And I was hoping for Venom to fail because I had this master plan of selling, fine selling the rights back to Spider-Man.
Oh, you are hard. You are a hard stand on. I want this movie to fail.
I know my master plan, y'all. You heard it here first. But it's doing well for them. That's great because the movie is a good movie. Not the perfect movie, but it's a good movie. So good to the studio, the production value, the actors. They did a good job there. But yeah, as comic fans, we can't expect a complete one-to-one, I guess, rendition of the comic origins. Because, like, some things will fit, but everything will translate well over to a movie. So the people just have to get over that at this point.
For real. We really do. Like I know we're hardcore, passionate nerds about what we do, what we watch, what we see, and everything. We want to talk about it, break it all down. But there's certain times where we just got to be like, whoa, let's pump the brakes for a second and just enjoy something for what it is.
Right.
So, you know, with that being said, like I said, there's a lot of things making changes here, and we're hoping for a lot of the better things to come out. So as consumers and fans, we just got to kind of be patient, see how this plays out. As, you know, critics and stuff like that, we could be a little bit critique, but, you know, we don't know everything. Right. So it really is still going to be just a wait and see. So with what we know, with the information we have, looking at it at a critical point, it's good and bad. As fans, we can only hope that this all works out in the favor for us because of what they offer, what they do, and where the next steps are from here.
Absolutely, man.
So with that being said, that's not all we have for Netflix. Netflix, despite making these cutthroat moves on Marvel and Disney, they are doubling down on quite a bit of stuff. And I've said this in the past, that there was an article that they said they were putting $1 billion into increasing their anime and international content on their platform. And we have slowly seen that from what they've been putting out, from how they've been working with Seven Deadly Sins to their most recent last winter season with Violet Evergarden, as well as everything else that's been coming out with Voltron, technically an anime, even if it's an American company, still well done. I don't care. It's the same way that you can consider Avatar an anime because it's the animation style. Exactly. Doesn't always have to be from Japan. Let's be real here, okay? It's more integral to the art style. But they keep pushing new stuff. Like we saw Aizen Demon or Half Demon earlier this year. We saw Godzilla, their CG films for Godzilla and everything else. Well, they made and Castlevania. I almost forgot about Castlevania. Castlevania is no joke. Yeah, Castlevania is mind-blowingly good. From the animation, like Soul was even in love with their animation and how they did. And he's showed us videos where they took the scene and re-edited it 4 different times to add the effects. Like, holy crap, did they put work into that? And to see everything that's going on and the way that they had the writing, phenomenal. They're not joking when it comes to their international and doubling down on anime on their platform. And they made 2 big announcements earlier this week for what's coming. Well, I mean, there's 3, but we'll get that one. The 2 biggest ones, though. First thing, Ultraman. That's right. We're going to start with my favorite, son.
Oh, Jesus Iconic. Christ.
Well,
everybody, I bid you adieu.
Iconic Japanese hero, a Super Sentai mecha-styled hero who kind of set the precedent for what we got with the Super Sentai series or Power Rangers here in the West, as well as Kamen Rider, was Ultraman. Ultraman Gaia is one of the most prominent characters and heroes to come from Japan. That's just synonymous to kind of like Godzilla. You have, of course, the Super Sentai. You have Ultraman. You have Astro Boy. Like, these are characters that have been around for decades that are just known. Well, they announced that they are doing a new Ultraman series and an anime CG anime series. And I had to say, when that trailer dropped and I saw it, I was floored because, one, no one knows Ultraman. No one really does or no gives cares. Ultraman the respect. That I'm going to punch you. I will fight you, boy. But the thing is, Ultraman was never given the respect, at least New Age anyways, that he deserves. But he is, if it wasn't for him, a lot of things wouldn't be on the level that we have now. Just like Robotech and Gundam, completely synonymous with the mecha genre. Without those two back in the 60s, we would not have mechas like we do today. That means no Big O, we would have no Eureka 7, we'd have no we wouldn't even have Pacific Rim. You know, Laga. That monster and Kaiju. Yeah, Gurren Lagann too. I was like, Darling in the Franxx, especially most recently, that we wouldn't have these very prominent and well-respected mechas without the history that it laid down. And Ultraman is one of those. Ultraman is one of those characters that set that precedent for what we have now. And the fact is that he hasn't had a show in so long. And the fact that they're doing a new series, and it looks so good. The animation, like, I very iffy when it comes to 3D animation. There's some I can get past, there's some I don't like. Like Knights of Cydonia, I know there's people who like Knights of Cydonia. Jamie Moran, one of our friends from the UK who's been on here before, love Knights of Cydonia. I don't like it because of the fact that it constantly sits between 2.5 to 3D. Like, it's always kind of jumping between, like, not necessarily full 2D animation, but it's not always full 3D animation. It's always like 2.5D. And I feel it's off-putting in that show. Like, don't get me wrong, the story's great. I just can't sit with that animation. But the Ultraman animation with the CGI and the particle effects just looks so damn good. And I'm so excited for this because I love Ultraman Gaia. It's one of those characters for me that I've wanted to see a series around this character, besides going back and watching the old stuff, because I can go back and watch the old stuff. I know it's cheesy as all hell. I still enjoy it. But I wanted them to do a new rendition of this character at some point. And what they're doing with the character now and what they're showing off, I am all for. And I was the only one out of our entire group that is excited for this, because this man's going to have his words and it's going to be crap because don't believe what he says. Ultraman's great. Okay. I'm just saying it now. But what are your thoughts, even though we already know you're fraud? Oh, okay. He's not going to have no words. That's how he feels about it. Just no words. Is that how you're doing this, Op? All right, good talk, good talk. Anyways, Sleepy, I see you in the chat over there. Yeah, I understand the style of animation for Knights of Cydonia. It was different. I'm not going to deny that. But it's like when it comes to 3D animation, it's always a big touch or like hit or miss with how it's done. Look at the Berserk remake that's, you know, 3D CG animation. It looks awful and like completely low budget compared to the old 80s and 90s rough animation, but were well just better done all around compared to what we got. But if you look at a show that does what's a good show that does 3D animation?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, bet. So like I was saying before I realized how my mic wasn't working, I don't hate Ultraman. I just don't get too
you
damn.
Just don't respect. I
give two fucks about that show. I'll check it out when it drops.
No.
Honestly, I'll check it out. I'm not the biggest fan of 2D animation, but it's not terrible from what I've seen. I can still watch it. But yeah, I've known about him. I just never cared. Never bothered to watch the original content. Never will, but I will watch this one and give it a chance.
Hey, it's cheesy. I'll say the old school is cheesy. I won't deny that, but it's still enjoyable. For me.
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a fair shot.
But Berserk suffered from bad direction, but it wasn't well done at all because they started halfway through the entire series. Because where it starts, it's during the Black Swordsman arc. He already has the Berserk armor. That's several hundred episodes into the series. Like, there's no precedent or understanding of who Gats is at that point with the remake. And like I said, the 3D animation just looked really badly done. Like during the fight when he pukes, oh my God, it was just ugly. I was like, it looked nowhere near as clean as it did back in the 90s. Like, if you're going to watch Berserk, watch the original series.
Oh yeah, it's definitely beautiful. But like, I never saw the newer rendition of it. But like, the fact that he jumped so far ahead to where he has the armor, and I was actually reading a manga, and I read the part where he actually gets the armor, bro. The fact that they skipped over that part pisses me off. I haven't even seen a damn show yet, and I won't because of that. But yeah, man, just stick with the original content. Then after that, go read the manga. It's worth your time. Just go back and read through everything that happens. And trust me, believe me when I say this: once you finish the show, the original show, go to the manga, start from the beginning. Trust me, start from the beginning and just read it as you go along. It just makes sense over time. You gotta believe on that, guys.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. When it comes to Berserk, I was like, Berserk is a show that absolutely is loved when you understand the full story. So watch the original series or read the manga. This one of those ones where either one will do. Yeah, reading the manga might do a little bit better for this, but the original Berserk is amazingly well done. And you will still absolutely get everything that you want out of it.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's definitely a classic. I wish I had more street cred, but you know, the creator, he's not trying to kill himself over putting a manga out there, so he's taking his time.
Oh yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I was like, yeah. I would prefer him do it, not like you know, the writers for High School of the Dead. That thing's never coming back. Anyways, no, he's doing it right, but you know, he did slow down a lot. But you know, there's nothing wrong with pacing himself. I just hope that we get to see the full end of Berserk.
Yeah.
And not ever get finished. That would be the worst thing.
Oh yeah, man. That's never a good feeling to have. But
but man, like I said, for me, when I saw Ultraman, dude, literally I was so excited. Like, I literally had tears of joy in my eyes because of the fact that Ultraman was just one of those characters that I love that was just like over the top cheesy, just kind of like Astro Boy. Astro Boy is a great character that I watched the original old school from like the 40s Astro Boy, and I loved it. Like, and then they did a redux of it back in like the 80s or 90s. I know they did a new interpretation of Astro Boy. I think it was on Warner Brothers on the WB Kids, like back in the day, I think. I can't remember. But yeah, no, I really did, and I'm glad to see it. Yeah, I think it was in 2003 that they did another take on it.
But they did a movie about it too in the early 2000s. I can't remember.
Yeah, they did. They did the 2009. That animated film, which was kind of all right. Yeah, it was okay. But it didn't have the same feel, but it was still enjoyable for what it was. I like what they tried to do. But yeah, It was just, it's one of those things that to see Ultraman get a comeback like this just made me so happy. Like I said, I love Ultraman and I have absolutely carry this energy when it comes out, whether it's good or bad, I will still love it because of the fact that just the fact that they're doing another Ultraman and the history that Ultraman has just makes me excited. Now, the other biggest news coming from Netflix when it comes to their international content is they announced that they are going to do a live action interpretation of everyone's favorite space Western. That's right. They announced that they're doing a 10 episode live action adaptation of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh,
that's not space Western.
I'm fucking with you.
You get out of here. That is a space smorgasbord of just what the fuck.
Exactly. But it's dope they're doing for Cowboy Bebop. I still have to finish the original show. I know, guys. I'm slow with this shit. I'll eventually get there. When? Probably sometime next year. Let's be honest. But yeah.
Yeah. You aren't the best. Like, you... This man's just, like, binging, like, all of...
Walking Dead. Yes.
Walking Dead right now. But I was like, when it comes to his anime binging, he's horrible at it. Except... Like the one I will give him a pass on is that you binge watched Violet Evergarden in one day because I told you how good it was.
I think it was like over 3 days.
And you actually listened. Yeah, but you still believe me when I told you just how good it was. And you're just like, bruh, it's so good.
You sold me on that, bro, because I was like, it's dub. I was like, oh, I hear none of that shit. It's like, no, watch it, bro. You'll be won over. Like, oh, okay, I'll give it a try. First episode. Motherfucker, you're right. Like,
it's just like he was actually not lying about something for once. But man, I was like, when they made the announcement, I'm gonna be honest with it. It's Netflix, and the fact is that they have the original director on board as a consultant. If they did not have that, I would not feel as confident with it, but with the fact that they're having the original director, I feel much more confident in what they're going to do with this film or with this series, because I've said multiple times, Cowboy Bebop was the anime from when I was young, from when back in the early 2000s that I watched that completely sold me on this medium, on this culture, on this genre, on this style of storytelling that blew my mind, that I was just in love. From the way that they told Spike's story to some of the most iconic fights. Episode 4, the fight between him and Vicious, one of the most iconic fights. Like, seriously, if you have not seen Spike fighting, seen the episode with Spike versus Vicious, you are missing one of the best fights in anime. Like, honestly, you are. Like, this is the show that really just hooked me so hard. And I was in love with it. This is my top of all time ever. Like, there's so many great ones that have come out, but this one still stands at the very top. And we're talking, you know, better than Naruto, better than One Piece, better than Bleach, better than even Yu Yu Hakusho. And I love Yu Yu Hakusho. But this is still the one that is the epitome of what anime can be. And I want this live action to do really well because we've seen hit or misses when it comes to live action adaptations of animes. A lot of misses. There's no denying that. However, we have seen that when Japan gets involved and stuff like that, we've got some fairly good results. Look at the Tokyo Ghoul live action that we did. Me and G both went out and saw it and really enjoyed that. The Bleach live action on Netflix has been really well done as well. The animation, the fighting in it, and the choreography, like, absolutely superb. You know, Full Metal Alchemist had the potential. It held up until, like, what was it, like the last, like the third act of the film, and then it completely, like, went left from there. And it's just like, bruh, you were doing so well, what happened? like I was enjoying it up to that point. I was like, yeah, I can see why everyone said this is a really bad in the last part of it. But we've seen that slow coming that they're able to do live action versions and well done ways. Not always superb or absolutely excellent, like so much better than the original thing, but we're seeing really good attempts at recreating some of these iconic things in a form that people could watch. You know, they had the Rurouni Kenshin live action trilogy, which is phenomenal because it's a damn samurai story. Who doesn't love samurais? It works. All right. Same with Gintama. Gintama is just, you know, satire and over the top. The live action Gintama films work, you know, but not every anime can be easily translated over, you know, but the fact that there's a lot of attempts and real investment in trying to do that, it's a good sign. It shows just how big the anime industry is, that so many people want to get into it, you know?
Yeah, man, I definitely get you. But like, so, as far as some of these other live actions, like the Fullmetal Alchemist one, I'm not going to touch until I actually finish the actual show. But I do have hopes for this Cowboy Bebop live action show, right? It's going to be a show, not a movie, right? It'll be a show?
Yeah, it's going to be a 10-episode show.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. The original director, he's behind it. I have faith for it. I have faith in it. He's not going to let it be trash, you know, hopefully. But, you know, just got to wait and see how it comes out.
Absolutely, man. I was like, that's the goal right now. That's exactly why I have so much faith in, is that it is having the original director as a consultant for the show, being on with the series. So I wish them the best of luck. I really can't wait to see what they do with it. I hope they bring back a lot of the original music and have the score, are able to recreate some of these scenes just phenomenally well. Like I'm hoping and praying absolutely for this to succeed, because this is one of those shows and series that truly mean the most to me. And I want them to do this one right, because if not, this is the one that will hurt me the most and make me the most angry if it fails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of writing on this show right now. The guy nailed it.
For this, absolutely. This one is the one that has the most writing on it, without a doubt. And no, Sleepy, we don't want it to be as good as the Dragon Ball live action. You Jesus get Christ. Out of here with no. that.
Why do you have to remind me of that?
All right, so we're going to do one last topic here, and we're going to hop out of here between the two of us, and that is Dragon Ball. Since we're on anime, we're going to go straight for Dragon Ball, since, you know, Sleepy just happened to say the perfect thing to transition and segue. Super Broly, this movie cannot stay out of the damn news whatsoever, and it is only like a week and a half away from premiering in Japan. And people, I will say this now, slight spoiler warnings, but if you're going to be online on social media, if you want to watch this film, be goddamn careful, because there's already spoilers and leaks and everything coming out about this film. So if you want to go in as blind as a baby, then make sure that you just be careful wherever you're going. But the news that we're about to share is something that we've talked about in the past. But what it is that earlier this week on Thursday, they released a trailer, a 30-second trailer for the film. And can anyone guess what that is? It's confirming what we've all been talking about for the past few months, since the Broly movie was first talked about, and after they confirmed it was Broly, they confirmed that Gogeta is going to be in the film. And we've been talking about this nearly for 2 months now, about the possibility of Gogeta being in the film. And I was the one who's been the most adamant saying, no, Gogeta is obviously going to be in the film, especially after they announced that Goten and Trunks are going to be in there and going to be a heavy part of the story with Gotenks. I was like, they're going to bring back Gogeta. They're going to reintroduce the fusion dance and bring back the character. And they showed him off. And I'll say, Super Saiyan Blue Gogeta looks fucking great. I do love the design. And I do like the fact that they switched the suit from, what was it, orange to yellow. And it looks so much better that way, more aesthetically pleasing in my eyes. But there's been so much about leading up to this that this was just too much of an obvious giveaway that they were going to do it, especially with everything that's already been confirmed for Broly. Broly is the biggest retcon reset, adding everything that's been big for fans in one movie that I have ever seen. They've basically added Bardock is officially now more canon than he was, because I think he was in like one episode of like Dragon Ball Z or whatever, or Dragon Ball, I can't remember. But then they did the film and that was non-canon. Now Bardock is truly officially canon. They're making Dragon Ball Minus, the one-shot retelling of the origin for Goku and everything by Akira Toriyama himself, as now officially canon. They're making Broly canon and everything else, and basically rewriting a lot of the established lore as we know, and adding in a bunch of stuff that people have been wanting for a long time. Now, Gogeta has been heavily wanted since Fusion Reborn came out. And with all the promotional material that they put out for this film, from the two flavored donuts that they were doing, that had one for Goku and one for Vegeta on one side, as well as the fact that the biggest giveaway, right, is the fact that they were heavily advertising the two-film double feature right alongside the Super Broly trailers. Every time they announced the trailer, Funimation and Toei Animation were always right there saying, hey, watch our, you know, special screening of the double feature of Bardock, Father of Goku, and Fusion Reborn before you go see Broly. That right there was one of the biggest dead giveaways that Gogeta was going to make a return. Besides the fact that there was listings of Gogeta as Super Saiyan Blue figurines with the subtext of the Super Broly film and their information. But that double feature was one of the big giveaways, because of the fact that we knew that they were adding Bardock. We knew that they were adding Dragon Ball Minus and everything else. And then the fact that they're doing Fusion Reborn, it's like they did the Legendary Super Saiyan with Broly by itself, and then they had the double feature. It's like, why are you gonna tease and redo Broly in film in theaters, which it hasn't done, been remastered, redone all the voice acting and everything, and then do Father of Bardock and then Fusion Reborn if they have no ties to the film? And then when we got Bardock being in Super Broly and understanding the past of the Saiyans and everything that happened on Planet Vegeta before Frieza attacked, it makes sense on why Bardock is in it. So it's like, why would they do a double feature of Fusion Reborn? I mean, if they wanted to do a double feature, why not, you know, Super Android 17 or Android 16 or whatever, you know? Why not one of those films? Why was it specifically about, you know, Fusion Reborn? What was so important about Fusion Reborn that they would advertise this double feature with these two films ahead of the Super Broly movie coming out for Dragon Ball Super? It would only make sense that Gogeta was going to make a return.
Absolutely, man. A couple things about this. One, the new design for him, even though they changed like a slight color on it, looks pretty dope. I heard some rumblings on the internet saying people are mad that it was Gogeta. They wanted to be Vegito. I'm not sure. I heard people saying Vegeta is more powerful than Gogeta. I don't know. I have no fucking clue. I'm not familiar with the lore of Dragon Ball.
Yes, technically Vegito is more powerful than Gogeta. That's because of the fact that the Pitaro earrings, when they're used, always create a perfect fusion between the two people that put it on. So when they're at their whatever power level that they're at the time that they put on the earring, that it will basically multiply based on those two separate power levels. So if you have your two best fighters at their strongest and you use them, it's a perfect fusion, and then it multiplies based on both of their power levels at that time, and it goes at a fraction of that power when they actually transfer over and transform. But the loss of it is that they're on a time limit with the Pitaro earrings that they if they use too much stamina, especially if you're looking when they're using Super Saiyan Blue, runs down their time limit quicker because they're using more stamina and things like that, and it's draining their energy. Whereas Gogeta and the fusion dance, the way that it works is that both participants doing the fusion dance have to have their power levels at the same level. If they're too strong or too weak and they don't match properly, it'll mess up their fusion. We've seen that with Gotenks multiple times. Remember, that's what Krillin and Piccolo taught them when they're doing it, because if one of them is weaker, that's why you get, you know, the very skinny, old, wrinkly Gotenks, or in the few cases where they overstepped and didn't make the symmetry when they done the dance, you got fat Gotenks. No. The thing is, though, is that they have to be at the same power level. And that's why people say Vegito is more powerful than Gogeta. However, Gogeta has more endurance because of the fact that it allows him to be in the form for a significantly longer amount of time.
Okay. Right, that makes more sense. Yeah. That was just stuff I heard about it. And so I have a quick question. So Broly, the movie, is set after the Tournament of Power, correct?
Yes. For those who aren't aware of the timeline for the Super Broly film, this takes place several, I believe it's like a month after the Tournament of Power story arc.
Okay.
So it is still continuing the story as far as we know. It's still keeping in the timeline. It's not going, you know, months to years after the story, the Tournament of Power. No, this is like almost directly after the Tournament of Power. Everyone's just kind of getting back into things, and Broly's going to show up, and it's going to take off from there. So that's where this takes place. And with the manga also picking up with their new story arc with the Galactic Patrol prisoner arc, that's taking place right after the Super Broly film. And I believe next year is supposed to be when Super comes back from hiatus versus 2020. So more than likely, we're going to see the telling of the Super Patrol or the Galactic Patrol prisoner arc whenever Dragon Ball returns.
Okay. So it seems like, so if this is after the Tournament of Power, then wouldn't that technically mean that Super Saiyan Blue Gogeta is a stronger transformation or form than Ultra Instinct Goku? Because he used Ultra Instinct Goku to beat Jiren, so being to a standstill. Broly is technically stronger than Jiren, so you have to use the fusion and Super Saiyan Blue to beat him. So, I guess, is my logic correct? Is that form stronger than Ultra Instinct Goku?
Okay. I would say so, because you got to think about this, especially when it comes to the Super Saiyan God forms, because you have Super Saiyan God, and then you have Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan, or Super Saiyan Blue. Blue is kind of refined, I would say. Okay, the best way to look at it is Super Saiyan God, when they have the red hair, what we've seen with Goku and what we've seen in the trailer, them teasing Super Saiyan God Vegeta finally, that is pure raw power. That is them at the most unbridled, rawest that they can be when it comes to the God Ki. However, Super Saiyan Blue is a little bit more controlled. And that's what Whis was trying to teach Goku when they first went Super Saiyan Blue before Vegeta did, is that he was teaching them how to tap into the God Ki and control it more and not just be, you know, raw power. So okay. It's one of those things. So while Super Saiyan Blue is definitely strong, it's still going to be comparable to a Super Saiyan form within just having access to the God Ki.
Okay, that makes sense. It feels like they're using this movie to try to clean up some of the lore that they set beforehand, because this is a reboot of Broly, right?
Yeah, this is how they're reintroducing Broly as well, as like I said. But at the same time, they're cleaning up and added things that people have been wanting, but at the same time, they've also retconned quite a bit of their stuff.
Okay, yeah, nothing wrong with that. It seems like it's finally turning into a decent anime now, after how many years, but that's just my slander thrown at it.
Wait, oh, slander.
I'm sorry, man. Super, that was a tough time for me just trying to watch through it, try to keep up with it. Like, I skipped most of the episodes anyway until
the format. The only thing that you need to skip is like the first 60 episodes, because I was like, that's just a retelling of Resurrection F and Battle of the Gods. Just watch the two films and boom, you're all caught up. Then you can start straight into, what was the story arc right after that? The Universe 6 tournament. Yeah. And then right after the Universe 6 tournament was Goku Black, which was great. I was like, was and good. Plus people wanted Vegito again. We didn't need Vegito again. Like, he had his big time to shine during the series against Goku Black, and that was great and all, but people wanted Gogeta specifically for a while, and I was okay with Gogeta. I was like, I don't get me wrong, I love Vegito, but you know, I was like, I wanted them to do something different.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing wrong with that. Always love that arc for that one meme with Goku. Like, wait, he's not black. Hold your fire. I was like, bruh, this man
is too smart for his own good. This man's not black.
He's too smart for his own good with that shit. But yeah,
That is hilarious. I just love it. Die, murderer! Wait, don't shoot him! This man's not black! And it's just like, wait, what? I was like, did they really just say that?
Yeah. Another thing, what's up with, I guess animes, some of these movies, what? They like to spoil what's coming next. I don't understand that. Like,
Here's the thing, it's Funimation, it's Dragon Ball. Every little news about whatever they're doing next, especially after the hiatus, everyone's eating up. So it's just like, hey, manga's continuing. We're going to do a new story arc, and it's going to take place right after the film. Well, fuck, now we know that what's going to happen in the film. Obviously, they win. But then again, it's Dragon Ball. Of course, it's going to fucking win.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be enjoyable. I mean, that animation still looks next level. Like, oh, I will not deny that.
The best so far we've seen as far as anything. But yeah, it's going to be a good movie. It's definitely going to be enjoyable. Hopefully, I'll be able to catch it in theaters because I miss the other two. But yeah, try to catch some of these like anime movies, especially bigger ones in the States, can be a little tricky, especially depending on where you live.
Yeah, man, it's going to... Yeah. So, but for the fans out there who do want to watch the Super Bowl or the Dragon Ball Super Broly film, next 2 weeks it's premiering in Japan, but it has been announced January 16th here in the States on a Wednesday. It's going to be in theaters. Start after it premieres in Japan. The tickets are going to go on sale on Funimation's website at funimationmovies.com/Dragon Ball Super Broly. And at that time, they will show all the theaters in your area that will be premiering the film. As well as another thing is that for this film, it is only going to be in the English dub for those fans. So that way, if you did want to see it in sub, they did say that they will release it in sub later at some point and in some form. But as of right now, the film will only be premiering in the English dub. So you will get to hear the everyone's favorite English dub cast for that. But for those who are wanting to see it, and that's just your little PSA heads up notification from us as we keep in touch with what's going on for this film and everything. So we want to make sure that all of you beautiful people are updated as well. So the more you know. But that being said, I think we're going to go ahead and call it here. You know, we're still just too many it, but we don't want to go too long between the two of us, but oh, yeah. we did definitely hit some real good stuff. And like I said, the more than likely the Dragon Ball subject is going to return next week if Soul and Super G are actually able to hop in next week. But, yeah, guys, trust me, you're going to want to tune back in from what we didn't share and what more comes next week. But tell them where they can find you at, man.
You can find me on Twitter as Operation. We're going to leave it at that. It's the easiest way to get me. I have like three different names running right now. I'll eventually get to one as soon as Soul finishes my chibi, whenever that happens. But, you know, I'm patient. I can wait.
I mean, stop changing your damn Twitter at name first.
I can't, bro. Look, bro, the Haunted Hill House convinced me I have to change it, bro.
No, the name you could change, but your actual at name, you change it from Operation Algonquin to Virgil as the SI, as the BP, as the Black Penta.
Black Penta. Yeah, eventually
just
I'll
stop. Make it one thing. Yeah,
I'll get together one day.
This man. And then, of course, you're on the channel, so you know what it is. YouTube.com/BloodyKnuckles. We're here every Saturday, as well as also check out the Facebook page down below. I post on there. Of course, I'm on Twitter. Twitter.com/BloodyKnuckles. The O's are zeros, the E's are three, and of course it all ends in a Z, as well as I'm also on Mixer.com/BloodyKnuckles. I stream there. Currently been playing a lot of Valkyria Chronicles. As soon as I finish that, I'm probably going to switch over and reattempt hard mode on Nier Automata and whatever comes next. And then I'll probably do some streaming in Yakuza because I love that game so much. Or definitely some Fist of the North Star because it's Kenshiro. Like, let's be honest. But other than that, guys, from us from here to y'all, we do want to thank y'all for tuning in. Please share the video. Leave a like if you haven't. You know, subscribe if you're not subscribed. Share it. Have all your friends subscribe. We are very passionate, and we don't say this enough, but please, any support that you can do for us means the world to all of us. We're slowly growing. We're at 160 subs right now. Like, if we can get 200, I would be absolutely ecstatic if, like, every little bit helps us out. But from us here, guys, peace out, and we'll check you later.
Peace. Thanks.